it's very hard to preach. One is just before a meal. Now you know what I'm about to say, amen? Amen. Even worse is just after a meal. So if you'll stay awake a little longer, I won't preach long. I'll preach fast, if you'll only listen fast. And thank you for the good time this morning, and thank the Lord, and thank you for the good meal. And I pray the Lord continue to bless you. If you have your Bibles, turn to the book of Hebrews. We're in Hebrews chapter 10 this afternoon. And thank the Lord for his goodness to us. I'm glad that one day, a 17-year-old young man, that the Holy Spirit of God got a hold of my heart, and I realized that I was lost and needed to be saved, and I got saved, and there's nothing like knowing him, amen. There's nothing like knowing the Lord. He's the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the end, the first and last, and the author and finisher of our faith. He's the bridegroom, the bright and morning star. He is captain of salvation. Joshua looked out, and there's one standing there with a sword drawn. He said, "Are you for us or against us?" He said, "I came to lead you." Amen. I'm glad the Lord's still leading today. And believe it or not, he's still in control. And I'm convinced that everything is in his timing. And I'm glad to be serving him in these last days. Now look with me. We're in Hebrews chapter 10. And I want you to look down in verse 35. Hebrews 10. 35. The Bible says, "Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come." Now you can mark that down, amen. That's not a might be, could be. It is a will be, amen. "He that shall come will come and will not tarry." Look in verse 38. The Bible says, "Now the just shall live by faith." Now I want you to notice that word "now." If you're ever going to live by faith, it's now. Mark that down. Underline that. And a lot of people read that and they never see that word "now." They just see "the just shall live by faith," but that's now. When you step out in the glory world, you're not going to live by faith. You're going to live by sight. But he said, "Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him." Now, I want to say to you that many times we as Christians, we get weak, we get wounded, and we get weary and discouraged. And I'll be honest with you, we all have those times. You might try to fool other people, but you can't fool the Lord. You can't fool yourself. You can't fool the Holy Spirit. But many times in our lives, we get weak and wounded and weary and discouraged. And it seems like that's the time when our faith becomes the weakest. And we lack confidence in the Lord. And it's a very dangerous time in the life of a Christian. When we get weak and weary and discouraged, and the Bible says, "Cast not away, therefore, your confidence," and that means confidence in the Lord. Now, I believe there's two major reasons that we lose our confidence in the Lord. And I believe the first one is slowness, and the second one is silence. Many times the Lord doesn't operate on our timetable. You know, we're in a place now, especially in America. I don't know how it is in a lot of foreign countries and places where you might be on a mission field, but I know in America, we just seem to want more. We want more money. We want more time. We want more success. We want more creature comforts. We want more satisfaction. Our pursuit is endless. And we want what we want when we want it. Now, doesn't that sound like America today? We want what we want when we want it. We don't want to wait. You know, sometimes I've got to be careful because I'll go anywhere I go. It seems like there's a line somewhere, and I'm always in the back of the line, and seems like it never moves. Don't ever get in a line behind me because it seems like that one's going to stop. And everywhere I go, I ask those people, it might be in a post office, it doesn't matter where we are, I say, are we in Walmart? Because everything seems to be backed up. So we're a tight people today that we exactly want what we want when we want it, but the Lord doesn't operate on our timetable. It's all on His timing. I know Pastor Poole spoke about that a little bit just a while ago. We got to be careful because God's timing is what is important. It's not our timing or what we want. It's what He wants. Then there's this thing about silence. Not only is waiting on the Lord hard, it's very difficult when we've prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed, and then still nothing. We're not hearing anything from God. That's why we've got to walk by faith. Now, when you go off into heaven and see the Lord, and I'm looking forward to that, amen, I trust you are, listen, then it's a walk of sight. Your faith has become sight. We no longer need faith when we get to heaven because faith time is over. It's now, and we'll be walking by sight. But faith is a difficult kind of thing. And I know throughout the Old Testament, throughout Scripture, it's been difficult. We wonder, why can't the walk of faith be easy? But in Psalms 143, the Bible says, hide not thy face from me. Psalms 83:1, keep not silent, O God. Hold not thy peace, and be not still, O God. God, you're too quiet. What's going on? I haven't heard from you for a while. Listen, I prayed last week, and I thought that should have already happened. Listen, I prayed about that situation, Lord. I prayed twice. Listen, I prayed twice, maybe three times, and something needs to be done. Does that sound like anybody you know? Amen. If you'll be honest, that's all of us. But God was silent. Bible says in Psalms 31:13, how long wilt thou forget me, O Lord, forever? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? And you know, those are the times that our faith seems to wane and we lose our confidence in the Lord. And I tell you, and I'll be honest with you, I believe it sounds like the church that we're living in today. When things don't happen on our timetable, well, Lord, I want to build this church. I want it to grow. I want it to grow from 50 to 100 to 150 to 200, 300, 400, and it's not happening on my timetable. What's going on? Why are you so silent? Lord, I've been faithful. I've been here all this time, and I'm anxious for this thing to happen, so it should happen. But the walk of faith is difficult, and I want to look at several reasons, and I won't be very long this afternoon because I know how difficult it is to stay awake, and I certainly don't want you to go to sleep. You know, it's bad when the congregation goes to sleep, but it's worse when the preacher goes to sleep. Amen? So I don't want to go to sleep, and I don't want you to go to sleep. I want us to have a good time in the Lord. But first of all, I want to look at the reality of faith, of walk by faith. And by the way, it's not optional. While we're on planet Earth, while you're in this carnal body, it's always going to be a walk of faith. Now, we're not able to see the Lord visually. We can see Him spiritually. So we're walking by the eye of faith, and it's not an easy thing. But you understand, when you get saved, it's a faith walk. For by grace are you saved through faith. So when you start your Christian walk, it's by faith. And then when you end in 2 Timothy, the Bible says, I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. So the beginning and the end is all about faith. It starts out with faith, it ends with faith. And by the way, 2 Corinthians 5:7, for we walk by faith, not by sight. All the way through this walk, it's a walk of faith. Now, regardless of how many times that we try to browbeat God and try to do things that we don't have to walk this walk by faith, it's not going to change God. It's a principle of the Word of God, and that's exactly the way we're going to walk, by faith. Then there's the richness of faith. Now, I like this. I don't think we completely understand how valuable faith is in the sight of God. There's five things more valuable than gold. And by the way, gold prices are going up. I don't know about you. I don't know how many blocks of that you have. But it's going way up. I mean, it's up over maybe $1,800, $1,900 an ounce. That means a little ounce. $1,900. So if you had 6 or 8 or 10 pounds of that thing, you'd be doing all right. So gold is very valuable, even here today. But how precious is it to God? And what's more precious than gold? Psalms 19 says, the word itself is more precious than gold. Now understand, this book, there's nothing more precious than that you have than the word of God. Amen. I'm talking about this thing is worth more than gold. Sometimes you might think you'd rather have gold, but I declare to you that gold is not going to last like the word of God. The Bible also says that godly wisdom is more precious than gold. Now, not higher education. I'm talking about godly wisdom. I think a lot of people have been educated beyond their intelligence. Amen. They've got a lot of book learning, but they don't know about the things of the Lord, and thus saith the Lord. Also, a good name in Proverbs 22:1. A good name is more precious than gold. So you need to have a good name, church. I'm talking about as mothers and fathers and Christians. Listen, when you tell somebody you're a Christian, you better have a good name. You better have something to back that up. You better have a reputation. You better realize that you're representing the Lord, whether you like it or not. When you tell that neighbor, well, I'm going to church. When you say to that friend in school or somebody you work with, you say, I'm a Christian. Listen, you better be careful because you got to live up to that thing. So I'm talking about a good name. I'm talking about your reputation. And the greatest thing that's more precious than gold is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Think about it. I'm talking about Jesus. Amen. I'm talking about the one that died for you, that shed his blood so you'd have eternal life. I mean, we do what we do. People say, why do you do what you do? I tell you, it's because of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why is the church here? Why is Pastor Poole here? Why are you folks so faithful? Why do you stand up and give testimonies and how you love the Lord and all these things? It's because of the blood, amen? And then there's one other thing that's more precious than gold to God. And by the way, God has everything. And that's the walk and the trying of our faith. The Bible says in 1 Peter 1:7, the trying of our faith is more precious than gold. So I'm talking about the walk of faith. I'm talking about, first of all, the reality, the richness, and also the rewards of faith. Now, you might not get them all down here. You'll get a measure of reward. But it's going to be worth it all. Amen. All that you've done, it's going to be worth it all when we get to heaven. One well done, thy good and faithful servant, it's going to be worth it all. I'm looking forward to that day, and I'm sure you are too. But the thing that you got to watch, and if you look over in the next chapter, in the faith chapter, this is the thing I want you to get, and then we'll be closing. Is the result of faith. It's so very, very important, church, to understand. It can be varied. One word can sum up the results of faith, and that's varied. If you read what's called the faith chapter, chapter 11, the book of Hebrews, I may have said Romans, but the book of Hebrews, known as the faith chapter, it goes through and it lists those that were overcomers, those that the reward was great. But the latter part of that chapter, if you read it, you'll find out some of them were sawed asunder. Some of them, it didn't turn out exactly the way they thought it should. And by the way, faith starts out before you know how it's going to turn out. But
If I had my choice, I'd want to be someone who walked by faith in the first part of chapter 11. But it's not always that way.
But regardless of how it turns out, it's all going to work out one of these days when we step out in the glory world. Now, I don't know. I'm looking forward to going. I don't think it's going to be very long. I think some of us will go by avenue of death or by avenue of rapture. But either way, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Our dear sister was talking about Leon Maurer. And we were good friends. And I may have told you, Pastor Poole, I don't know that I have, but I think maybe I did last year. But I preached the first message in this new part of the building when they built this. Leon Maurer was scheduled to preach at 11 o'clock. And he was going to be preaching the first sermon. But unbeknownst to anybody else, I taught Sunday school. We were having a jubilee. Amen. So I actually preached that Sunday school lesson. I'm not a teacher per se. I'm more of a preacher. You know the difference in a teacher and a preacher. Teacher says it, the preacher yells it. Amen. But anyway, he was a great man. So, were you saved under his ministry? Wow, that's great. But anyway, one of these days, after a little while, we're going to step out of this world in the glory world. It's going to be worth it all. We're going to see the Lord Jesus. I don't think it's going to be very long. And I'm looking forward to the Lord coming back. And I'm looking forward to well done, thy good and faithful servant. Yes. And all the faithfulness that you can do, you can't outdo the Lord. Amen. Yes. I'm going to ask Loretta to come. And we're going to have a song of invitation. Now, I know many of you came to the altar during the morning service, but maybe tonight or this afternoon. I'm not used to preaching in the afternoon that much. But maybe you need to come and, you know, it's just home, folks. You know, this is the backbone and the spine of Zion Baptist Church right here. And if it's going to get done, it's going to get done by the folks that are here right now. Now, I'm sure there's a few missing that would be here if they weren't providentially hindered or somewhere else. But mainly it's the folks right here. Maybe you want to just come as a family, a church family, and gather around the altar, whatever the Lord leads, and just thank the Lord for his goodness and realize that although he might be slow to our standard and he might not be as loud as we want him to be when we want him to be, he's still there. And his desire when you get weary and discouraged and down and defeated, he's still there. He hasn't moved. And his desire is to take care of you and your family. I'm going to ask you to stand. Loretta's going to begin to sing. The altar's open. Pastor will be here to pray with you if you need to.